located in
Thank you.
cry.
We need God's healing touch.
Take heart, have faith, for Christ has called us in.
We come to bless the Lord.
Can we stand for the opening hymn?
Thank you. Thanks for coming to the morning meeting so I'm not up here all by myself. One more. So this morning, I'm going to talk to the congregation about a story where Jesus is teaching us about helping others. So you, are there times that you can share when you have helped others? Share out loud. Anyone else want to share about how you helped someone? Okay, so she was sharing. She helped with the Matthew meals here and helping to feed those who are hungry. Anyone else? Maybe you helped your a friend or maybe you helped your parents. Yeah, putting people on the spot sort of freezes your brain, right? Because all of a sudden you can't think of anything. But I'm sure that you're helping others. This is a great congregation who has lots of ways of reaching out and helping others. But why do you think Jesus wants us to learn about helping others? Well, one of the things I think is Jesus is trying to teach us in this parable that we'll be learning today is that we are the hands and feet of God. Because when others are hurting, like those who are hungry, they physically are hurting because of a hungry stomach. But also, they may be hurting because of the situation they're in that causes them to need to come here for meals. And so, when people are hurting, God hurts with us. He's sad and wants to help them. So how is God going to help them? It's through us. We become the hands and feet of Jesus so that we can share God's love with those who are hurting. So it's important when we see people who are in need, whatever the situation may be, to reach out and help them. So I encourage you the next time you see someone who needs help, to go and talk to your parents about how can we help them so that they are not hurting anymore and they know that God loves us. Okay? Let's pray. Precious God, we give you thanks for these children, for those here and those aren't able to be here today. And just continue to surround them with your love and your blessings, that they may know your true love, and that they may be able to have the courage to reach out and share your love with those who are hurting around them. Of course, in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. Of several people we want to lift up. Mary Jane McKinnon is at home recuperating from a broken hip. We have Larry Cooksman, who's at Select Rehabilitation Hospital recovering from a leg injury. We have Kevin Howard, who's having health issues. Richard Farabin, who's at hospice care. And then lifted up here today, we have Kevin Howard, which I did lift up, okay. And then Andrew, my great nephew, who is 20, has cancer. And the insurance company has cut him off from receiving help. So I definitely need lots of prayers there. I want to thank praise for our tentative job offer pending, for reemployment requirements going smoothly. Phyllis Carpenter has lung cancer and is recently diagnosed with asthma. So, but we're now praising God for the cancer shrinking to 1/5 its previous size and has 2 more weeks of chemo. Yes. Also, somebody has a friend, Bobby Darden, who has Parkinson's and dementia from farming for 43 years. So we're going to pause and let's pray and take these concerns and others to God. Our most heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the many ways that you're working in each of our lives, filling us with your love and care, the many blessings that you surround us with each day. And God, we want to lift up all those that we have named this day, to surround them as individuals with your love and healing touch. You surround their family and friends to give them the strength and to know how to be present and support them during their illness. God, we want to celebrate those healings that you have brought. Celebrate the help through finding employment and ask for continued blessings in the job search. And God, we want to ask for blessings upon our world that is struggling to live in peace with one another. There's so much violence around the world, and even right here in our backyard. Help us, God, to learn to love one another, to share our burdens together, and to carry each other through these difficult times. And God, there's so many things that have not been lifted up on people's hearts, but you know them, oh God. You know our innermost being. We lift them to you, oh God, for the healing, for the strength, for the care, whatever the need may be. You know it, oh God, and we lift them up to you to surround them with your care and your strength. All these we lift up to you, oh God. In Jesus' name, you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. and our offerings, that you may bless them to multiply and touch so many more lives than we could ever imagine. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
To share about God's love. He's praising God were working through the 70s so they could heal and cast out demons in Jesus' name. So it's in the midst of the 70, the disciples and other followers, that the lawyer stands up to test Jesus and to prove himself holy and righteous. And don't all of us have moments when we want to be proved holy and righteous for Jesus to say, good job, you're doing well. But as usual, Jesus has a lesson for us to learn as well. Hear these words from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I think there are 2 main points that Jesus is trying to share with us from this parable. Jesus is teaching us about God's love and how God's love calls us to act, to show mercy. It's the greatest commandment, to love God and to love our neighbor. God's love, is it easily defined and contained? Some Israelites at that time thought so. They would have said yes. Jews in those days were sure of their status as chosen people, and Samaritans were far from chosen in their book. Samaritans were regarded as social outcasts, ceremonially unclean, and religious heretics in the eyes of the Israelites. So basically, they were the opposite of holy and righteous. As I said, we have the disciples, the 70 who just returned from sharing God's love in the surrounding area, and other followers listening to the story. So how do you think they would have heard the story? As Jesus tells the story, I think that people listening probably were a little bit understanding of the priest and the Levite passing by on the other side. Because in the law, if they had touched someone who was bloody, beaten up, they would have become unclean. But also, they may have been concerned that it was just a trap set up by robbers. But then Jesus drops the bomb. A Samaritan is the one who acts as a good neighbor. What? Are you crazy? What are you saying, Jesus? Jesus chose someone the farthest from being holy and righteous in the Israelites' eyes. Jesus blew the top off the box they had built to define God's love. But it not only blew the top off, it blew the walls down. Because God's love cannot be contained, it cannot be withheld from anyone. Yes, a Samaritan can be a good neighbor. Jesus had come to rip off the boundaries on God's love. God's love was not the only way, was not only way up in heaven, or only behind the curtain in the temple. Now, when Jesus chose to lift up the Samaritan, the social outcast, the religious heretic, over and against the priest and Levite, or maybe even just a regular Jew, he was calling us to see that God's love is not limited to the chosen people, but is for all God's children. It may be hard to fully imagine the shock of those listening to at that time, because of course we know that God's love is for everyone, all of God's children, for we have but one Creator and Father of all. Yet in the 60s, the story may have been two white men passing by on the other side and a black man stopping to help. Or in the 80s, it could have been a healthy man and woman passing by on the other side and someone who was HIV positive stopping and helping. So who would be our Samaritan today? Who would be your Samaritan? Would it be a homeless person? A Muslim? A drug addict? A Cuban? A Haitian? Someone who makes us uncomfortable, who we see as being unholy. We still need to hear today that God's love is for each of us, all around the world, in all our different cultures, our different beliefs, races, political affiliations, whatever the case may be. Because Jesus is telling us it's not about helping only God's chosen people. It's not about only taking care of our own. When Jesus lifted up the Samaritan, he was telling the lawyer, God's love isn't limited. It isn't limited to the chosen people. God's love is unlimited, unbounded, not exclusive. And I think most importantly, God's love is never ending. So Jesus' first point is for us to live from a center of the abundance of God's love, not from a center of scarcity or exclusivity of God's love. The second point Jesus is trying to get across to his audience and to us today is about getting the question right. Jesus asked the lawyer, which of these three do you think was neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers? So it's not who is your neighbor, because God's love is for everyone. But the real question is, as a child of God, living out of God's abundant love, how do I respond? When I see a person in need, how do we love our neighbor? Do we walk by on the other side as the priest and Levi did? Do we fail to take risks or step out of our comfort zone? Do we say we don't have time? Or do we show mercy? How often in our lives do we feel torn to take risks, to step out of our comfort zones? You may read in the church bulletin or newsletter about Cross Ministries Caring Kitchen program needing help, feeding the homeless. You may feel a tug to help out, but you have these voices inside saying, but the homeless, they make me feel uncomfortable. I'm not sure about this. But you still feel a tug to help out because you love to cook and meet new people. So maybe God is calling you to do something new, to step out of your usual comfort zone and share God's love with those who are hurting. How often do we feel like we don't have time to do anything else? Now, of course, I'm not talking to you retirees who volunteer about 10 different places and you're a full-time volunteer. No, I'm talking to the rest of us who have not found any time to love our neighbor because we simply feel we don't have any more time left in the day. But I ask you, how many husbands out there would tell your wife when she calls stuck on I-95 with a flat tire, "I'm sorry, I gotta get this report done. Bye." Not too many hands out there, right? No, I don't think many of you would say that. But you might say, call AAA, they'll be there in a few minutes. Probably not that either, because you want to keep your wife happy, right? Yes. So, what we mean. So the real point here, are we going to let time control us? Or are we going to control time? Because we can choose what is important in our life and make it happen. We can choose to make time for our family, to make time to play with our children or grandchildren. And so we can also choose to make time to love our neighbors. Just as Jesus isn't saying we have to solve all the world's problems or respond to every need, but Jesus is calling us simply to act, to show mercy, to do what we can. Because John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, he put it this way: do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. So it's not do all the good, but do all the good you can. Loving our neighbors sometimes calls us to overcome our fears, our prejudices, and step outside our comfort zones, to take risks, to stop letting time control us, and let God's love control us. Then we will not hesitate to show mercy, to be compassionate and understanding, to take risks and step out of our comfort zones, because God's love is calling us to love those who are hurting right here in our backyard. The title of my sermon is "Who is Your Neighbor?" Because Jesus is telling each of us to go and do likewise. We each have been given different gifts and talents to share God's love with those who are hurting. So who is your neighbor that God is calling you to see? To notice that they are in pain. Is it a neighbor on your street? The cashier at a grocery store? A member of your Bible study? Is it serving at a pantry to feed those who are hungry? Is it to help build homes with Habitat for Humanity? Maybe it's caring for animals at the shelter, or visiting the elderly in a nursing home, or maybe calling people who are homebound, writing letters to those who are in the service. The needs are great, and God needs each of us to share the love we have through Him to those who are suffering. But we are not going out alone, just as Jesus sent out the 70 with God's power, so we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit within each of us to guide us and strengthen us. So how has God gifted you? Who is your neighbor that God is calling you to share your gifts with to bring healing? There are a lot of hurting people in our community that need God's love. We have over 200,000 people who are food insecure in Palm Beach County. meaning they're not sure if they have where their next meal is coming from, or maybe they're skipping meals, or maybe they're not eating as much as they should. And about 60,000 of them are children. On any given day in our county, there are 1,700 people who are homeless, different families, individuals. We also have a shortage of affordable housing. So many people are paying 50 to 70% of their income just for housing, and it's recommended to only spend 30%. We have developers that want to build on part of our ag reserve. We have shootings occurring almost every day in our community. The needs are great and many in our community. So I encourage you to look at your bulletins, the newsletters, because there's always something, a need being lifted up. You also can go onto United Way's website, UnitedWayPBC.org, and see the many different volunteer opportunities based on your interests and your gifts. And most importantly, be in prayer. Ask God, how have you gifted me? Who is the neighbor that you're calling me to see, to reach out and show your love? Ephraim the Syrian is one of our early Christian fathers who wrote, when reflecting on this passage, "All this teaching is held high through the two commandments, as though by means of two wings, that is through love of God and of humanity." I love this imagery of two wings, one loving God and one loving our neighbor. And the body is in the center, that is us. So it's not either or, loving God or loving your neighbor, but both working together. Because we won't get far flapping one wing. If we are to fly to our greatest heights, to live into all that God has created us to be, then we need to flap both wings, loving God and loving neighbor. Same. Volunteers tell me time and again that I receive more than I give, because as you share God's love, you will also experience God's love. So who is your neighbor? Who is God calling you to help? Amen.
Thank you. share with all you need, to share with the neighbor God is calling you to shower with his love. Go now.